You're making one right decision today. You're listening to Handcuffs and Sage.
Three badass moms bringing you all the true crime and paranormal your heart desires.
I'm Red.
I'm Timo.
I'm Dre. And don't let your kids listen. Seriously, just don't.
Hey, it's Handcuffs and Sage! Woo! Oh my goodness, I'm Red.
Hi, I'm Timo.
Hey, this is Dre.
And this is a regular ass episode. Yep.
But we're in studio again, so it's awesome.
Yay! Yes. Oh, we're special. Okay, I'm very excited to do this week.
Yes.
A lot of things going on. We covered part one of my story last time. Mm-hmm. If you didn't listen to it, go back, check it out, love it, leave a review, and then come back for part two.
Okay.
Yes?
I will do that.
Oh my goodness.
It's not like I'll have listened to it like 500 times.
Right, yeah.
I feel like you're complaining.
Well, you know.
Well, I feel bad that you have to listen to my voice over.
I like your voice. Shut up.
I have a hard time with my voice because in high school, some kid told me it sounded really mousy.
Yeah, some loser.
And ever since.
Yeah, what's he doing now? Get out of here.
I remember, like, back when phones were inside homes. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, back in the day, like, I had my kids. They were little. Mm-hmm. But we had a phone. And people would call all the time, and they would ask for my mom. I'd be like, well, my mom's not here.
Oh, my house. You sound like a little kid.
I sound like a little kid.
That's so funny. Is your mom home?
Hello,
I'm 25.
My mom's not home. This is me.
That's, I'm a that's so awesome.
That's so funny. Cute.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. I do feel bad that you have to listen to my voice.
Mm-mm. Sorry. It's fun. It's good.
Okay,
cool. It's all good.
So we are doing something a little different. We're trying to do videos so y'all can see what real moms look like.
Yes.
Right.
Tired.
And it's usually not this good, and that's okay.
Yeah. It's all right. We're being our unique individual selves.
That's right.
Yeah.
I used a brush. That was fun.
Mm-hmm. Put on
mascara that had dried out a long time ago.
I know.
Yeah.
I was like, work, because I'm not going to dye another one and use it like once.
No. I was so afraid that my eyeliner was going to be dry, but it was still good. NYX. NYX has great eyeliner.
Okay.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored. So have you guys tried the magnetic lashes?
I have.
I haven't.
I hate them. Magnetic sucks.
Really?
Oh, wait. Did you do the kind with the magnetic, the eyeliner?
I've done them all.
Oh, I love them.
Wait, really? I think because you might have like the right shape.
Okay.
I do not.
What's wrong with your shape?
So like when, even if I cut off the end and I put this on, the tip always comes up. Like, within a matter of, like, hours.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's annoying. And then you can probably feel it.
I totally can feel it.
So that's a bad feeling. Do you get that same when you do, the glue-ons? Does that happen?
No, that doesn't happen. No.
Oh, weird. Yeah. Okay.
So then, I'm glad you brought this up. I have a friend who, her daughter created a glue that's pretty, like, it's pretty legit, guys. So you put the glue on, not like you would regular lash glue. Uh-huh. You put it on, like a liner. Now, I wish I could do the wing tip. I can't do that shit. Yeah, I'm not good with makeup.
Yeah.
So you do the top line and then, like, just put the lashes on. And they stick forever, all day. Those don't move.
Ooh.
It's really nice. Like, I'll share with you guys later.
I tried them out. We went to Vegas. I don't know. Was that, like, a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we had a great time. It's amazing. The lashes I got had like really great reviews and I loved them. And my hubby was just complimenting all the time. He's like, I just love the way it looks. I'm like, oh my God. So I really like them. Maybe it was the kind that I got that was special.
Totally.
Fantastic. But it just makes you feel pretty. I didn't put them on today because I'm keeping it real.
Yeah. I had bought like some press-ons. I also bought lashes, and I didn't do either because I wanted to keep it real, too.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a crazy day and age where everything is so perfect and glamorous. Yeah. Like, you watch a video, and this chick just has it all together, right? And she's like, a hard day. And it's like,
right.
When we were growing up, it was just so completely different. We didn't have these images of perfection in our face all the time, mm-hmm. right? And I mean, I remember, I mean, our makeup in junior high was like that CoverGirl compact.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So mm-hmm. that was powder.
Powder that you would still wet the little thing and put it on yeah. to cake it on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't made to do that, but we would do it.
And we were like, we look good. And y'all had that friend where it was orange.
Oh, yeah. Orange. Or you could see the line right here.
Yeah, there was a line. There was a line. And then maybe some mascara, mm-hmm. right?
Blue eyeshadow.
Sure. And then like a cotton candy flavored.
Or like hot pink or something.
Yeah. That's
I used to get this like, I don't know what it was. It was like a chapstick kind of a liner. Not a liner. I'm sorry. A lipstick. That was like white, and then when you put it on, it turned hot pink, and then it never yeah. came off.
Like mood changing.
It never came yeah. off, but it wasn't mood changing. It was just like it was white, and you'd put it on.
Again. I've seen them.
I would love to have that.
There's green ones.
It stays
now,
on they, all yeah, day.
It does. It
so when I was lips. Young, and my mom didn't let me wear makeup, I stole her lipstick and had no freaking clue this was gonna happen. So I'm like super hot lips all day, baby. Oh, and then I'm like, all right, it's time to go home. And I'm trying to wipe it off and it's not coming off.
No.
I'm like, she's gonna kill me. So I'm like trying so hard. My clothes are like trying to wipe it. And mm-hmm. Oh, it didn't happen.
So nice.
I got home and she was like, you're wearing my lipstick. And I'm like, there's no, there's no denying
she's like,
that.
You're
home.
A whore. You look damn whore.
Did she put you in your prayer closet?
Like, I know, right? You're in so much trouble now.
Oh, I love it. I love it, love it, love it. It was just, you know, a different way of growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We're moms, right? We all work hard in different ways.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And this is pretty good for us.
Yeah.
I feel good about it. Yeah. We're not perfect. Yeah. We're not, like, gonna pretend to be.
We're keeping it real.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. I'm very, very excited to do part two. This is a fun story.
It is. It's so much fun. I'm loving it. I can't wait.
So it's basically the first serial killer case in the U.S. What? They didn't know what a serial killer was. They put together their first, they called it a torso clinic, terrible name. They put together this event where they had their first profile of a killer put together. That's badass. I mm-hmm. love that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of different things going on. And they made a lot of mistakes. It does sound like there was a class bias. So they weren't looking at maybe, you know, the people they should.
Right.
Okay. Mistakes were made. Shanty towns were burned down.
Okay. Horrible. Horrible.
Mm-hmm. Terrible. Just terrible. So at the end of part one, you hear that Elliot Ness has burned down the shanty town, and then he arrested the people for being homeless. And he said, you're welcome. So it's July 1939. We have a gentleman called Frank Dosell, and he confesses to killing Florence Flo Palillo. Okay, y'all.
Wow.
Everyone's like, oh, shit. Oh, my God. He fucking killed Flo. He killed Flo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. He confessed after being beaten, starved, not let to sleep for, you know, a few days. So he said, okay, I did it. But then he didn't know any of the facts of what happened.
Who did this to him? The cops?
Uh-huh.
Oh, of course.
Nice.
Yeah. During interrogation?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, sure, I'll tell you anything you want.
That's
like,
why there are laws now.
He was like, okay, I did it. Tell me what to say, and I'll sign it. Like, horrible. What they did to him was so horrible. Awful. Okay? So, he confesses. After he confesses, under duress, I might add, he recants his statement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's like, just kidding. They made me write this confession. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So right before Frank's trial is about to start, guess what happens? He's found in his cell hanging by cleaning rags. And they're like, oh, he killed himself. And they're like, that's weird because Frank is 5'8", and the space that he's hanging from is 5'7".
So, oh, come on.
What's up, y'all? What'd y'all do? Okay. Mm. So they do an autopsy on Frank, and he has 6 broken ribs. Oh. He's been beaten up. Mm-hmm. Obviously not a suicide. I feel really bad for Frank. Mm. And the community came together and they're like, we love Frank. We don't think Frank did it. He was like the nice, gregarious guy, and he would even like barbecue for people. Like, people love Frank. Mm. And so they think that what happened is there's all this pressure, right, on officers to catch the killer, and mm-hmm. then they accidentally burn it, an entire shanty town down, and they got to do something. So Frank used to live for a hot second with Flo. Mm. Okay, they got it all hot and heavy, but not for long, okay? And then he used to hang with Rose Wallace, like the same area Rose Wallace was, and Androssi. So they were like, oh, he's connected. Mm. No, he's just hanging out in the same place everybody else was.
So they had this idea, and then they forced it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To get it.
Okay. Right.
What would they would call, he was the...
Scapegoat.
Yeah.
Scapegoat, but back in those days, they used another word, patty.
The patty.
He was the patty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. I do want to say, though, that that whole concept between, oh, he was 5'8", and then the space was 5'7", I'm sorry, but you can...
You can
hang yourself in a closet.
You can still hang yourself
on a doorknob.
Yeah.
You absolutely can. Mm-hmm. You know, I know this sounds crazy, but you know what autoerotic asphyxiation is?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of hot.
Until you die.
Right. But mm-hmm. what makes it super shady is he recounted his confession. They really didn't have anything on him. Trial is about to start, and they need to say this is a killer. And his ribs were all broken. All right. Mm-hmm. I don't think Frank was sitting
there. They were totally trying to pin it on poor Frank.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So Lillian Jones comes out and had made a statement that Frank had attacked her with a knife when she was at his house, just chilling. She said to get away, she had to jump out of a second story window. Okay. After Frank's death, she recounts her story and says, the cops made me say that.
Oh.
To pin it on him. I just feel like they're making all really bad decisions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Burning down towns, only looking at vagrants, making Lillian lie. Just a lot of shit's happening.
Too much of this above the law bullshit.
So, let's learn something. There are 2 types of dismemberment. Did you know that? Let me tell you about them. The first type is defensive dismemberment. Now, this is the kind we'll probably end up doing someday. This is the get rid of the body dismemberment. This is, he talked that, I told him twice, I had to kill his ass. We're dismembering the body to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's type 1.
Okay.
Here is type 2. Aggressive dismemberment. Holy shit, that sounds crazy scary. Mm-hmm. Okay, aggressive dismemberment is when you dismember a body because you're motivated by hatred or lust, mm-hmm. and you're like getting like an emotional release from it.
Yikes.
Ugh.
So there's only 2 kinds?
There's more. You're such a dick for saying that. So I didn't write them all down.
I'm just trying to figure, like, was the Black Dahlia, you know?
That's aggressive.
That was aggressive.
That's totally aggressive.
It's weird that you said Black Dahlia.
We'll find out.
Okay, so 2 years pass by from the last murder. People are thinking, okay, maybe the killer was in prison, you know, for something else. Maybe he died. We don't know. Neville and Ness are no longer working the case. May 3rd, 1940, in Pennsylvania, in a train yard, 2 men are working. They're checking, like, old boxcars. They smell a smell of rotting meat. So they open up the boxcar, and there are 3 corpses inside. Gross. Dismembered and decapitated. And they're like, fuck, dude.
Great.
Shit, dude. They call the Cleveland police, and they're like, I know you don't want to hear this right now, but check this out, okay? All right.
It wasn't Frank.
Frank? Wasn't Frank. Okay. 3 officers are still on this case. So we have Chief George Matowitz, Detective Peter Murillo, and Sergeant James Hogan, okay? They go to the train yard. They're checking it out to see if it's their killer. Body parts are found everywhere.
Wow.
Some are wrapped in burlap. Why? That always confuses me. Why are some parts just like out hanging and why are some wrapped up? I don't know. That's weird to me. I don't understand that. On one of the corpses, it's carved on his chest, Nazi.
Oh, God.
With an inverted Z.
Okay. Okay.
Other way?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so they're thinking, oh, it's a copycat, right? Because this killer likes to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he all of a sudden write Nazi on this guy's? Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's a copycat. That's what they're saying, right?
Okay.
Okay. And we've heard that. Serial killers have rituals.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They don't really like to stray. So the coroner, Samuel Gerber, same coroner, is checking out these bodies. He says it was cut by an expert, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the coroner's like, I think it might be the same person.
Oh, gosh.
Ugh. So Hogan is saying, look, I think it's a copycat. Murillo says, no, this is the same guy. Uh-huh. I've seen all the bodies. This is the same one. And Matowitz, he's on the fence. He doesn't know what to think. So Murillo, he wants to go undercover, okay? He's thinking maybe the killer uses boxcars as his chop shop. He gets around, he grabs a person, he chops them up, mm-hmm. drops them off.
Oh.
Okay, so that's Murillo's theory. Matowitz comes out, he has a news conference. He's like, check it out, y'all. Not our killer. All good. He turns around, he looks in the mirror, he's like, you're undercover now. You need to go check those out. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. He doesn't want to freak people out. So Murillo dresses as a hobo to go undercover, and there's a picture on that.
Oh, no. Was it like I Love Lucy when she did her little black tube?
It looks like an officer pretending to be a hobo. That's what he looks like.
Right.
He has a stick with the handkerchief in the back holding the stuff, and he's all...
Oh, no.
But he tried.
He bought the costume.
He tried.
He did. He bought it.
Oh, no.
I hope he rented it, dude. Okay. So it was crazy.
Side note on that, they did the same thing with the Night Stalker at the bus station, remember? And he knew that it wasn't because he said they were dirty, but their teeth were so clean.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. Homeless know, man.
Yeah.
The Night Stalker. Yeah.
And they see the same people. Yeah. They know. Like, Come on.
Their teeth look better than mine.
I know, right?
Right now.
Mine.
I need a deep cleaning, y'all. Okay, so Murillo plays hobo for 3 weeks.
Oh, that's...
Oh, my gosh.
He goes, showering every night. Get out of here.
He goes from Ohio to Pennsylvania, right? He's jumping from boxcar to boxcar. He doesn't find anything. I have a feeling Murillo doesn't want to break.
Mm. Yeah. He was like, I'm going on vacation.
I think that's... I'm such a dick, dude. I'm sure he was very serious about the job every day. Okay. More years pass. This case is cold. Okay, but Murillo is still working on it. He's passionate about it. Some like fun fact about Murillo, he spoke like a million different languages. Just like a really interesting guy. Yeah, a really smart guy. By October 1942, Matowitz removes Murillo from the case to work other cases, right? Other people are being like just murdered all over the place. But Murillo vows to never give up on this case. Like, he just said it had become his life, and it was like habit to work on it and not let it go. And we hear that from detectives. The case that stayed with me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it was here. Okay. Oh, my goodness. 1950. It's a hot July.
Wow. Okay.
Pretend you're like a worker guy, and you work for a moving company, and you look down, and you see like an old dude just sunbathing, just let it all, okay? All right. That's what happened here. There's this guy, and he's like mid-50s, like a heavy set guy, and he comes out every morning to sunbathe for like 20 minutes.
Naked?
It sounded like he was naked.
Ew.
I didn't see any pictures. Nobody took a picture.
Ew. Okay.
They didn't specify. I assume so. They all thought it was weird. I think it's weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the sunbather comes every day for 6 weeks. All of a sudden... He doesn't show up. They're like, oh, that's weird. Where'd the sun bather go? Where's our guy? Right? Very odd. So then we have two workers, and all of a sudden they're like, what's that smell? Somebody smells right. It's probably a dead person, right? They go, and they find decomposing leg. Like,
oh.
Ugh, right? Where's the rest of the person? Mm. Super gross. All the investigators from the case from before are gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've moved on. They've retired, right? So they need to get some new people to check this out. New investigators come in. They find a torso, leg, arms, no head, wrapped in newspaper. Why is it being wrapped in something? Isn't that weird? I think that's
maybe
weird.
To hide it.
But then you would think maybe he would bury it to hide it.
Right.
But he wants it to be found.
Well, I think like from point A to point B, maybe you're around people and you don't want them to see what you're carrying.
True.
So you would have to hide it.
But only some of it's wrapped.
Yeah.
Oh. Hmm. Okay.
I'm sure weird. There's a great reason. I'm sure he had a reason. Okay. So Coroner Gerber, he's still around.
Oh, God.
This poor guy.
Taken. Yeah. He does the autopsy. Crazy. He says it is the same as mm-hmm. the other killings. Okay. So Coroner Gerber and Chief Matowitz, they're like friends, right? And Matowitz is like, hey, Gerber, just like keep it on the down low.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't want people to freak out, right, that the killer's out there. The body is identified as 41-year-old Robert Robertson, which is the most fucked up name, because his parents named him
mm-hmm.
Robert Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
That's messed up, you guys.
Yeah.
I don't like that. So Robert had had a stroke. He was like partially paralyzed. He had been arrested for public intoxication, like recently evicted, so homeless. So he kind of fit in with the other victims, right? Kind of living the same lifestyle. So the killer's MO.
Mm-hmm.
So then the workers, the moving guys, were like, but what about the sunbather, right? Because that guy, he stopped coming, and all of a sudden we find these body parts. But it's not him that was murdered.
Mm.
And then they're thinking, oh, my God, he was not tanning. He was scouting.
Oh.
Damn. Dun, dun, dun. Craziness.
Wow.
Craziness. Hold on to your butts. Are you ready for this? Okay. The case has gone cold for 2 decades.
That's bananas.
Now we have bell bottoms on and it's 1976. Robert Nest, Elliot Nest's son, okay,
mm-hmm.
he dies at the age of 30 from leukemia. His wife, Sharon, is going through all of his stuff, right? She finds notes, clippings, scrapbooks of her father-in-law's, Elliot's. She doesn't want to know what to do with this. She takes it to a historical library and like, look, this is from this case. These are his notes, his personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. I love Sharon. I love you, Sharon. In his stuff is one letter and 5 postcards found from the mid-50s from Dayton, Ohio. The messages on these postcards make no sense at all. Just big words in all over the place, but certain ones are underlined.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
Some of them have illustrations. And it's always marked F.E. Sweeney. And then we find out that Ness had a secret suspect that he thought for sure was the killer.
Damn.
But he had ties to this political person.
Oh, come on.
Oh, shit. Okay, so all of these things are found. You're like, oh, shit, what's this all about? What's going on? So Marilyn Bardsley, she's writing a play. I love it. She's getting creative. She needs information. The play is about the mad butcher, okay, or the weirdo weenie, whatever. Okay, so Marilyn puts out that she's looking for information. She's writing a play on the mad butcher, okay? She gets a phone call from Royal Grossman. He's a psychiatrist, and he says he has a story for her.
Okay.
Right? Always give these things time. Secrets come out, yep. He says that in 1938, Elliot Ness interrogated a suspect for over a week at a hotel. He couldn't prove that this guy did it, and he also has a tie to a political person. The suspect.
The suspect.
The suspect. Mm-hmm. Crazy. A hotel? Okay, more to come. So then she talks to David Cowles. He works at the Identification Bureau. And he said he had a story, but he would not give the name of the secret suspect that Ness had because he had promised Ness all those years ago he wouldn't say.
Oh, wow.
What?
Some shady shit.
Crazy. It's the 70s now. Like, get loose with it, you know? Okay, so we have Al Arkery, okay? He has this crazy story. He says that in 1934... he went to a club, he's drinking, he meets a guy. The guy is like a little weird, but then they kind of become friends and they put this like weird, you know, thing together where Al will give the dude beer and the dude will write him prescriptions because he's a doctor.
Okay.
A prescription for barbitols. That sounds nice. That sounds good. Okay, but then the killings are happening, and Al's like, you know what's so crazy? Is I never see this guy and the killer in the same place at the same time. I'm just kidding. Anytime there's a killing is like a time when this doctor wasn't with him. Do you guys know what I'm saying? Okay. For some reason, Al is thinking, this guy, he's the killer. He says that this guy's name, are you ready? Francis Edward Sweeney.
Oh.
Weirdo Weenie Sweeney.
That's where that came from.
I love it. Okay, so Marilyn, she rings up David Cowles. Remember, he's like, I'm not going to tell you the name. I made a promise. He picks up the phone. She's like, Sweeney. He's like, damn, how'd you know? Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
So, who is this Sweeney? I'll tell you. He was born May 5th, 1894. That was like a really, really, really long time ago that he was born. A long time ago. To Martin and Delia Sweeney. He was the fifth of six kids. Now, he had a lot of, like, tragedy. I guess it started off as, like, a really happy home. Okay, loving parents. But his older brother died when he was three. His mother died when he was nine. In 1907, his father was hospitalized. And then in 1912, his other brother died.
Wow.
And yeah, so then his father was incarcerated in a mental hospital, and not long after he died.
Wow.
It's a lot of loss.
Yeah.
A lot of fucked up shit. Like when you're growing up and dealing with everything. He was highly intelligent. He was very driven. Very ambitious, okay? In 1917, Sweeney joined the military. He was honorably discharged. But on the paperwork, it said he was 25% disabled. What the fuck does that mean? Could that be like he's emotionally disabled? Do you know what I mean?
So yeah, so I actually have an answer for this. When you do retire or leave the military, you get like, you know, some kind of a consultation where they review both mental and physical, and they will designate like PTSD equals percentage of disability.
Wow.
So that's how you get to that percentage.
Wow.
And like back pain is a certain percentage, you know, you have knee pain, you have neck pain, you have whatever.
Okay.
So if it happened in the service, you do get a percentage of disability for that.
Okay. Fun fact of the day.
Yeah.
Okay, so he was 25% disabled at the end of this. So in 1920, Sweeney goes to pharmacy school. 1924, he goes to the School of Medicine, and he is vice president of his class. He's a real nerdy McNerd. Okay. Then he gets married to a nurse, Mary. Aw, it's kind of cute, the doctor and the nurse. Come on. Yeah. Come on. And then in 1929, he has his first son. And then a little bit later, he has his second son. And he's got like this cute like little family. And he's worked so hard, right? People say he's bright and compassionate and funny. These are all really nice things, right? Okay. So then in early 1930s, his mental decline all of a sudden goes down. He starts drinking like a fish. Then he becomes violent with Mary.
Oh, God.
He screams at the kids. He leaves. He's gone. He's just not doing well. He stops working like he was. So he became very neglectful of his life, which is really, really sad. Okay. In 1933, Mary files an affidavit for him to be committed to a city hospital. I didn't know that. Write that down. It's like you get pissed at your head.
Affidavit.
You know what I mean?
Got it. Check.
Wow. I'm surprised that they were able to allow her to do that.
Yeah.
In those times.
Right. Women.
I wonder what the reason was, because you know how they give you the reasons why a woman can be admitted?
Sure.
Yeah.
It was like...
Like back in the day,
like hysteria.
She's got her period.
Yeah.
Lock her up.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Sometimes I should be like that. Okay. Yeah. So then, January 1934, she goes and gets him from the hospital, but he doesn't do well. It's a really bad situation, and Mary has to file for divorce. She takes the kids. She asked for full custody, and this just sends them over the edge.
Yeah.
It's just too much, okay? Sweeney disappears. Where'd Sweeney go? The fuck is Sweeney? Nobody knows where Sweeney is. A couple months later, that first body is found.
Oh, no.
So, 1983, Cowles and Florence go looking at the Historical Society. You know, Cowles is in really poor health at the time, and he was kind of like needing help writing his like life story, what is it when you write your life story?
Autobiography.
Okay.
Yeah.
He really wanted to get all of this out in the open before he died.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So Cal said that Sweeney was related to a congressman.
Oh, there it is.
Ugh. Sweeney had failed 2 polygraph tests. There was a cat and mouse situation between Ness and Sweeney. The gaps in time when there weren't killings, Sweeney was in the hospital. Sweeney wrote J. Edgar Hoover about what an asshat Ness is.
Nice.
I know how to get something done.
I'm telling the president on you.
I'm going to write a letter.
Right? Okay. We have Emil Fronick in 1934, living on the streets. One night, he says, the doctor said to him, look, come up to my office. I'm going to give you food and shoes and clothes. Come up to my office.
Ah.
He goes up. He said, I ate the food, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling really weird.
Oh, shit.
Oh, he drugged him.
He's been drugged.
Yeah.
Okay? So then the doctor tries to attack his ass, and Emil's like, oh, you know, and runs out the office. He gets away.
Oh, good.
Ooh. He's a survivor, y'all.
Yeah, badass.
Okay, so then the officers are like, well, show us where this building is or office is that this doctor had taken you, like prove it kind of a thing, right? It was on the Kingsbury Run. The guy was like, well, I think it was around here. And the officers at the time were saying, there's no doctor office over here. Oh, it turns out that Sweeney had a doctor office on that street, and the guy was right.
Wow.
That is where his office is, and you wouldn't be able to tell because it was like in this like hidden type building, and it had a secret back entrance.
Creepy.
So then you're all, okay, well, he ain't going to be draining blood up in his office because everyone be like, where the blood came from? Okay, so he had had a relationship with the funeral home next door and said, look, I'm a doctor. I need to practice some shit. Can I practice on some of your dead people sometimes when you're out there? And they're like,
crap.
Yeah, cool. So they think that he was draining the blood and all the shit at the funeral home. cutting up shit and doing whatever he wants in his office and then dropping things off because, you know.
Oh, my God.
What a sicko.
People trust doctors. That's why.
Yep.
Yikes.
Sweeney died in 1964. Okay. I got a lot of information from the Serial Killer podcast, Unsolved podcast, this guy, Simon Whistler on YouTube, BuzzFeed Unsolved, a lot of good stories on this. It really is great. So we hear about the cat and mouse thing that Ness and Sweeney had going on, right? And remember how Ness held him in a hotel room? They said like 10 to 14 days.
Crazy.
He was held there being interrogated. He failed the polygraph test twice. And Ness is like, dude, I know you did it. And Sweeney said, prove it.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yes. So then they're saying, this is crazy, that after this interrogation took place, the 12th and 13th victims' bodies were found right outside Ness's office window.
Holy
as
shit.
A fuck you.
Oh my God.
Come get me, bro.
Oh my God. The boldness. Wow.
And apparently that's what sent Ness like over the edge. And was like, all right, I'm just going to burn everything now.
Fucker.
Oh, but see, wait a minute. Like, okay, he had an idea that it was this dude who's a doctor, but you still burned down? Motherfucker.
Ness is like, he's going after these people, so let's get these people away. Give me a break. Give me a break. So this guy, he's a total badass. His name is James Bedell. He like gave 18 years of his life looking into this case, like everything. He knows everything about it. And he's like, they say this is an unsolved case. He's like, no, this case is solved. And everyone kind of knows it. It was Sweeney.
Right? Yeah.
But he was related to a congressman.
Yeah.
What? That's crazy. So it turns out, you know, he was hospitalized several times. And he had schizophrenia, probably inherited from his father. And that's maybe 30s it hit. And he just didn't do well. So he murdered people. Like, really fucked up ass ways. But it's kind of crazy. First serial killer. Didn't know what a serial killer is. First profile. Said it's unsolved, but it's solved.
Yeah.
Mistakes were made, you guys.
Mistakes
were made.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I just love, love, love this story. It has a lot of, you know, history behind it, things that we kind of take for granted these days, that we do have a lot of ways to catch someone that they didn't have back in the day.
Right.
So, right. You basically have to, like, walk in and see someone stabbing the other person and be like, get it.
Yeah.
Just to make sure.
You know how easy they had it back then?
Oh, my God. Would you be killing bitches all over the place?
Literally,
I'm so tired of you.
That's where the, you know, the saying came from.
Yeah.
Get away with murder because you could.
Oh, yeah.
Nowadays, you can't.
You could get Barbitol, y'all.
In exchange for drinks? Come on.
Yeah, that sounds really easy.
Yeah.
Dang. That's it. Part two.
Yay.
I love that.
That
was so good.
Was such a good story. Yeah, and I had never heard of this dude before.
The Mad Butcher?
I think I heard
of the name. The Cleveland Torso Killer?
No.
No.
Weirdo Weenie
Yes. That actually has a really good ring to it.
You guys, we do give these badass names to serial killers, and they should be lame ass names because they step balls.
So he wasn't a butcher, but
he was a doctor.
Yeah, were they getting that because he would wrap up some of the body parts?
No, the precision.
Right. Oh.
The way that he dismembered it, they knew it had to be someone with the knowledge of anatomy.
Today we would have called him like the mad surgeon.
The mad surgeon.
Because butchers don't give a fuck how their chops are.
No.
They know the cuts of meat, though, where they have to cut to get certain pieces of meat. They're actually very knowledgeable.
Okay.
And a butcher has to be really strong. And remember, he did the one
That's wild. Yeah.
That's because they were drugged. They were probably sleeping.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Ugh.
Or wake and paralyzed.
Oh, my God.
That is my nightmare.
Ugh.
Think about that. Like, you know everything that's going on. You can't move your body.
Yeah. No. Well, that's what
sleep paralysis is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're being murdered to that.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. But it feels like you're being murdered when you're in sleep paralysis, too.
Similar.
But that's a topic, too, in a lot of, you know, horror movies and crime movies and stuff like that.
I've had sleep paralysis. It's awful.
Well, where you're drugged and they're killing you or they're going to hurt you and you're awake and you're seeing it happen.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay, part two's done. Yay!
Awesome. That's wild.
It is. Okay, it's a crazy-ass story.
Dahlia thing?
Oh, people were saying that the mad butcher maybe moved to California and killed Liz Short because of the way she was cut.
Right.
The torso, similar cuts, dismembering, and because there was gaps in time, right, where they're killing for happening. Did he?
Did he come to California on a vacation?
There was a doctor that supposedly did that.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of stuff that has...
You need to do that story.
Do I?
Yeah.
No, I won't because you told me to.
I mean, I will do it.
Stay in your lane.
I'll add some paranormal in there a little bit.
I really, really love the Black Dahlia story because Crime Con did this amazing thing where all they did was talk about
Right.
And really who she was. What a phenomenal young woman, just so full of life and just kind of ready to, you know,
start
her letters. She was just so, like, innocent and naive. I learned a lot. Thank you, Crime Con.
Yeah, you got it.
I really liked when American Horror Story did that one for Murder House. When they added her in, they were like, whoa.
Yeah.
That was so good.
And she's a part of the Cecil whole drama, too.
Yes, she is.
So,
a lot of people are.
I
think I'm next.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, you guys ready for some paranormal?
Water, maybe? All
right.
Book up.
So, being one third of a true crime podcast.
It's a trio.
we've talked about this before. Hitchhiking.
Don't do it.
Not a good idea.
I don't feel good about it, you guys.
No. Don't do it and don't pick up a hitchhiker.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? Okay.
That's really hard for me, by the way.
Really?
Like, whenever I see, I'm like,
because you want to help someone.
Oh. No.
I was always
if you ever did that,
not picking up a
hitchhiker. So I know. I know that I shouldn't, but that there's like this ping of guilt in my heart.
I'm not going to
be
too.
Guilty after hearing my voice. Okay?
I have to tell you guys, I didn't pick, it wasn't a hitchhiker, but it was raining, and I did pick up a mother and child.
That's different.
Yeah, it was raining.
You're like a better person.
It was bad.
Oh, man.
So.
What if that little child was like a demon baby?
Imagine. Oh, my God, just don't.
Okay. So there are so many stories of paranormal hitchhikers.
Okay.
And that's what I'm going to
tell you. Paranormal hitchhikers?
Yes.
Ooh.
Like ghost hitchhikers?
It's like.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
You know, like on
the song?
Yeah, like on the
Haunted Mansion.
The Water of the.
Hitchhiking
ghosts. All right, so the first story I'm going to tell you is the story of Catherine, and this story happens in Bangor, Maine.
Bangor?
I don't know.
Sounds like Bangor.
Right.
We're going to fuck up names.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sorry, Bangor.
So on Route 182 between the towns of Franklin and Cherryfield, Catherine died in a car accident, and now she basically curses this stretch of road.
Interesting.
Now, twist, she was actually decapitated in the car accident.
By the knife butcher?
Yes. And
the weird weenie.
The ghost is supposedly headless. Okay. Legend goes that if you do not stop for Catherine to help her, she will curse you, and she will either give you pain, suffering, or even death.
Damn.
One story is a driver refused to stop for Catherine, and instantly he saw her severed head in the back seat of his car, which he ended up swerving, crashing, and killing
you
himself.
See, I would survive because I would stop for her.
So that is the sweet and short story of Catherine.
All right. Well, if you know you're taking that 182, your ass better stop.
Right. In Maine. Okay. The post Pearl Harbor hitchhiker / fortune teller.
That's a mix.
She's all of it. Just do it all.
So this happened during World War II in the United States. And a man picked up a woman hitchhiker as he dropped her off, she offered money for him for the ride. And he said, no, 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 it's all right, it's all right. She's like, all right, well, I'm going to offer to give you your fortune instead.
Oh, I thought this was going another way.
Dirty birdie.
Yeah, she was offering something. Kind of a fortune.
Kind of.
That's nice.
But wait till what she tells him.
Oh, shit.
There will be a dead body in your car before you get home this evening. And fuck? Hitler will be dead in 6 months.
Why would she say that?
What the hell?
He's like, get the fuck.
Yeah, he's like, Hitler, yeah. Okay, dead body, no.
No. Mm-hmm.
That is great news about Hitler, though. Mm-hmm.
So he was on his way home. Right in front of him, he saw the remains of a bad car accident.
Oh, no.
He took one of the victims who was on the side of the road. He put him in his car. Drove him to the hospital, but unfortunately he died on the way there.
No.
Well, if that wasn't a freaking fortune. Wow.
Yes.
She did.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't a cold read.
Right. Okay. Right. Not actually sure if Hitler actually died within 6 months of this happening, but he did.
He didn't go to the Hollow Earth? Just kidding.
Everyone has to go there.
So there you go. Fortune telling. Hitchhiker.
See, there's some good ones out there.
Yes.
It's fucked up shit, though.
All right. The Black Horse Lake Hitchhiker. This is in Cascade County near Great Falls, Montana. Mm. I love that, Cascade County.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Yes. An isolated back road. A Native American man who looks like he's hitchhiking is seen on the side of the road.
He looks like he's hitchhiking?
Yes.
Okay.
But as you get closer to him, he actually flings himself onto the hood of your car and crashes into your windshield.
Just like fuck with your day?
What the hell?
So you're like, what the fuck? So you stop, you pull over, you get out to check on this guy, right? And he's nowhere to be found, and there's absolutely no damage to your vehicle.
Oh. That's a mind fuck, bro.
For real.
That's like really, really mean.
Yeah.
Rude.
Okay. This one's for you, Red.
Oh.
The Lady of White Rock Lake.
She's wearing white.
Oh, my God. There's like 50
Spoiler
of those.
Alert.
There's 50 of those.
So this is in Dallas, Texas, and it has elements of La Llorona. So White Rock Lake along Gaston Avenue, you see this girl running up to the car. She's dripping wet. She's totally distraught. You stop for her and she tells you that she just survived a horrible boating accident and she needs a ride home. Mm. Okay, so you're going to give her a ride home, right?
You're helping.
So she gets in. She says, this is my address. Please get me home. And then all of a sudden, she disappears, leaving a puddle of water in your front seat.
That's creepy.
So by chance, you go to that address. You want to see what the fuck,
right?
You still go to the address.
No, I wouldn't. I'd be like, geez, that was weird. Then I'd just do other shit.
So if you do go to that address, a middle-aged man will answer the door. He'll tell you that his daughter drowned in that lake when the boat sank. So variations of the story where a woman actually drowned herself in that lake. And now she goes from home to home on the homes around the lake, knocking on doors, asking for help. Mm. And then she'll suddenly disappear, leaving a puddle of water on your doorstep.
That makes me sad. Because I think about people getting stuck in this loop.
Mm-hmm. Right. So she's like, I just survived this accident. Help me, take me home. Where she really didn't. But she killed herself. So that would make sense. Because they say sometimes you live in that world.
Yeah. But what if you get hit by a car on the side of the road?
Yeah, that's
right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're stuck in a loop.
That's not cool. I don't know. And then that's where the mediums and the psychics come in and help you cross.
Yeah. It's just because you're not ready. Mm-hmm. However it happened.
Yeah.
Well, I'm never ready.
So this is the UBC Hitchhiker. UBC, you ask? That's the University of British Columbia in Vancouver.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So in 1966, on the way to the library, a couple are driving along this road, and they're in a heated argument. They are pissed off at each other. So she decides she's going to get the fuck out and walk.
She does.
So she gets out. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she steps into oncoming traffic and gets hit and killed by a car.
Oh, shit.
Do you think it was an accident? Does it sound like this was an accident?
It was an accident, for sure. So along this University Boulevard, she's seen walking up and down. She's looking for a ride. She looks wet, like she's been in the rain. And if you pick her up, she'll just suddenly disappear, but she'll leave a note on your seat, and it's a piece of paper with the address of the library on it.
That would be a trip to be like screaming at your special somebody, and then you did. It kind of messed me up.
Yeah.
It messed me up, man.
Oh, this is near home, y'all. The Browning Road Hitcher. This is in Delano, California. Kern County near Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. So this is like really close to us, you guys. And it's Browning Road. Long ago, a woman crossing the street was hit by a car and died.
Okay.
There's now a memorial on the side of the road, you know, where they do the cross and then...
That was always really bummed me out. Yeah. You guys, when I see those on the side of the road.
Same. Yeah, it's really sad, yeah. So, you know, there's candles and flowers and whatever there. So she's actually seen standing there at her own memorial looking like she wants to cross the street. So you're kind of like, oh shit, like, don't cross the street. Like, do you talk to people when you're driving?
Oh, yeah.
Because stay there. Don't you come out of that driveway. You stay there. So that would be me. I'd be like, girl.
I don't do that.
I do all the time. I talk to everybody.
I do that.
Okay, but I drive like a grandma, and I'm always like, you can go. You know what I mean? I just...
Because I feel like, but if you're like,
never get into
I'm not saying like, don't you do what you want to do, but like they're kind of slowing, you know, they're like coming out and it could be a
And like you're already going fast, too fast to slow down.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, then I'm like, oh, don't you dare.
Yeah,
okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, sure. All right, so as you pass and you see her, she will actually show up sitting in your back seat. Sometimes she will grab the back of your head while you're driving and make you crash.
Oh, no.
That's why they want to go around that road, because this fucking shit is wild.
Imagine feeling something on the back of your head.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Sometimes she'll leap in front of your car, causing you to swerve or crash. Sometimes she will crawl under your car and damage it so your car is inoperable.
Oh, I got the chills.
Why would they want to be killing people?
Oh, geez. So if you seek her out, you will actually disappear, return days later screaming and not knowing where you've been.
What?
This is a wild story, y'all.
I feel like they're all so rude and they're trying to kill people and that's not cool. What did we do to you? We're trying to give you a ride.
Yeah.
We're trying to help you.
We're warning you. Don't fucking pick up a hitchhiker.
Okay.
All right?
We'll see.
This story is very popular. I've seen a lot of them. It's Resurrection Mary, and she's basically called the Vanishing Hitchhiker. So this is in Justice, Illinois. It's a little town just outside of Chicago. She mostly looks for men. Okay, so her men are her victims.
I'm fine with this.
Yeah.
Me too. Okay.
She's a young blonde. She's wearing a white dress. She's very cute. And this is along Archer Avenue near Resurrection Cemetery. Mm. All right. So her dress, though, it's not like your nightgowny kind of thing that they usually are wearing. This is a party dress. So she's out to have some fun.
This sounds like a Red Shoes Diary episode. You guys remember that shit?
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the night. You know, you'd go like watching, you'd be like, why is she on the side of the road wearing red pumps and a white ass mini skirt? And they go, oh shit, what's happening? And
that's
then
right.
Your body changes in ways you don't understand.
Oh shit.
Keep going. What's your story?
Okay, so the horny dude will pick her up, right? He's like, yeah. So he picks her up, she sits there, she doesn't say a word, but she will ask you to let her out near the cemetery. So as she gets out, she walks into the cemetery. And she disappears.
Whoa!
Okay. So in the 1920s, 30s, there two women were killed in a car accident right outside of the cemetery. They think it might be either one of them. One's name is Mary Bregovy. Drink.
We will fuck up all names.
All the time.
And Anna Maria Norkus. So
you did it.
There you go. Resurrection Mary. Okay.
It's a lot of hitchhikers.
Okay, the Lydia, the phantom hitchhiker. This is in High Point, North Carolina. A young woman named Lydia, of course. She's looking for a ride home. When you pick her up, you arrive at an old railroad Passover. You know what those Passover looks like. And she just simply disappears. As soon as you hit it, she just disappears, right? That is known now as Lydia's Bridge. And Lydia's story actually goes back to about 1924. There was a fatal car accident in that area. A woman did die, but her name was Annie Jackson. So who is Lydia? The prophetic hitcher.
Huh?
Prophetic? The prophet. Let's just say prophet.
The prophetic?
Prophetic.
Hitcher.
Yes.
Beautiful name. Isn't that what I just said? Prophetic. It's okay.
This story has been reported all over in different areas. So this is not pinpointed to just one area, okay? A driver will pick up a hitchhiker only to disappear as soon as they get in, okay? They're so overwhelmed that they get pulled over and they're just sitting there distraught. A police officer will come by to check on them. They'll say, this is what happened. The officer will just be in shock. He says, guess what? You're like the fourth or fifth person to tell me this week. What it's said to be is either an angel or Jesus himself coming to warn the world of impending disasters.
What?
Yeah, so if you pick up a hitchhiker and they disappear like this, it could be an angel or Jesus.
I'm going to say this is a leap. Did they mention anything about the
No,
other
they
world?
Don't.
Okay, so we're just guessing.
Yes, we're just guessing.
We're just guessing. Mm-hmm. And Jesus?
Jesus is hitchhiking.
Who came up with this?
I just get a feeling Jesus is not hitchhiking. Hitchhiking?
Maybe.
If I was Jesus and I didn't know any better, I'd be hot tubbing it. I'd be up on the beach, hiking in mountains, hitchhiking.
It's a test.
There's no point.
It's a test.
Okay.
See if you're worthy of heaven.
By picking up a hitchhiker, we're screwed.
So this is the last one. All right, y'all. The Walhalla Hitcher.
Ooh. Walhalla.
1950s, Walhalla, South Carolina. Pilot Larry Stevens. He had his little, you know, four-seater, probably the plane, and he loved to fly it in this little area of Walhalla, right? So one day, there was a bad storm that hit unexpectedly. He crashed, but his body was never found. So this is on Route 107 between Piedmont Overlook and Moody Springs. Now on stormy nights, a young male hitchhiker will be seen on the side of the road. He'll ask to be taken to the Overlook. He doesn't talk at all, but as soon as he gets out, he disappears, leaving water and mud in your car. Some say this is Stephen's restless spirit.
That's sad.
Yeah.
But he's doing what he loves.
Yeah.
He's so stuck.
Mostly every town has a story of a ghostly hitchhiker or a scary encounter with something on some dark road. Do you have one to tell? Let us know.
Ooh, yeah. Share.
So vanishing and ghostly hitchhikers appear in many songs and short films. One is by Orson Welles. It was from 1951, and it's called Return to Glenaskull. I couldn't remember. I was trying to look for the shorts, and I kept on looking up Vanishing Hitchhiker, because there's other ones that are called that as well. And I couldn't remember. Return to what? Return to... So now I have it, so I'm going to look that up. You can find it on YouTube. Then in 1985, there is a movie made, and it was called Mr. Wrong. Then in 1824, there was a novel written by Washington Irving, and it was called The Lady with the Velvet Collar, and that's about a ghostly hitchhiker. And then I love this, y'all. In 1998, Kmart had a Route 66 jeans commercial that had a vanishing hitchhiker in it. Did you guys have Route 66 jeans?
Yeah, you know, bitch. Yeah. You know I did.
And Kmart's gone. Forever. So there you go. Hitchhikers.
Pick them up.
Yep.
So good. See, that's what I gathered was pick them up.
That's what we...
Pick if I was with you guys, I would probably pick up a ghostly hitchhiker. But if I was by myself, I wouldn't.
Oh, God. That would just be terrifying. But you don't know they're ghosts, so you just shouldn't pick them up.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. There's rules. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
All right. Are you ready?
Yep.
We have the badass story of the week. Oh my goodness.
I just love it.
I know, it sounds so good.
All right, guys. So who of you guys who hasn't heard about the freezing cold temperatures in Texas?
Oh, my God. My sister is in Texas and Austin, and it's been bad.
Bad. So bad.
So I followed this guy on TikTok. He's called Keto Snacks. Mm-hmm. And he does these little, you know, short little 60-second little snacky mm-hmm. thingies. And he posted a video where he's in the grocery store, he's pushing his shopping cart, and he's like, this is what it looks like to grocery shop in Texas. And the whole meat shelf is just empty. Then he scans over. It's like, there's no food, y'all. Nothing. There's nothing.
It's like end of times,
and
for
they
real.
They have to probably throw it all out because
it's been spoiled.
Really? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awful. And yeah. I feel so bad for my sister. They have been through it.
Oh my gosh. It's been terrible. My cousin actually, I messaged her to find out they're in Fort Worth, and she said that they're basically, they have like two-story, because, you know, all the houses in Texas are huge. Mm-hmm. And so they get power for an hour a day.
Oh, no.
They'll get
it's
it for a little
crazy.
Bit, and they turn it off, and
yeah.
They're freezing.
So that she, like, put sheets up everywhere, and then, like, everybody's just living in the downstairs, and they have a fireplace down there.
Mm-hmm. You just kind of snuggle with each
Ridiculous.
Other and keep warm.
Somebody called my uncle and said, hey, there's a bunch of down trees. They've been here for a long time. Mm-hmm. Come and get them. Because he was like, him and my aunt are older, you know, so 2 a.m.
Oh, no.
He's out there chopping up wood to survive. But you guys, I mean, this is something that has to happen because people are dying.
People are dying. And I kept having this dream all week. I think this added to this week is mm-hmm. I had this dream where I was putting food and wood and water in packages and, like, trying to send them to her.
No.
And they wouldn't get to her. And I was so frustrated.
I know, that's
I was, like,
so hard.
To save her.
Yeah.
It was awful. And they have little kids, mm-hmm. right? It's freezing. No food. No electronic. Just, it's awful.
I saw this other wild video on TikTok where, TikTok, not sponsored, but give us a call. This lady's with her camera, and she's walking through her daughter's bedroom. She's all, y'all, this is my daughter's fish tank. Fucking thing was frozen solid.
Yes.
The fish are, like, suspended, like,
It's so sad. Yeah.
I just want to say one thing. My brother-in-law is a total badass.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has a truck, like a Raptor truck, mm-hmm. and he's been going out saving people.
Aww.
He has employees that have been basically freezing, mm-hmm. and he goes and gets them.
Yeah.
And he's been doing that over and over and over again for people because his vehicle is able to get through the snow.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what the problem is their power plants, all the whatever, the equipments or whatever they have are frozen solid,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and they don't know how to deal with that because it never happened.
It's
right.
crazy. My sister's
and it's probably not even
first.
Made to freeze. You know
no,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was like a once
up,
in a lifetime,
yeah.
like,
poor people.
Crazy.
I'm like,
it's
you
horrible.
Telling me to move to Texas all the time. Did it happen?
Yeah, I don't
you
think so.
You're here with
I mean,
now.
I'll probably still do it.
It's so cold, and then, you know, no electricity, right? What do we do when we have no electricity?
Oh,
we put our food
shit.
Goes bad, you know, or we put it in ice chests if we could. They just put it outside in the snow.
Yeah, that's
it's just
yeah,
like,
that's great.
It's frozen, but it's still edible.
Yeah.
You know?
And
beer. I eat it.
And beer.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you just have to get through it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Luckily, I think this week they're getting better weather, so.
Yes, they're supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah. So my badass is actually the volunteers that, you know, I love turtles, guys.
Turtles?
Turtles.
Okay.
Turtles are so cute.
I wasn't expecting turtles.
You heard turds? I love turds. Mm. No, turtles.
I love turtles.
Turtly turtles. So did you know that they become comatose? They get cold stunned after 50 degrees.
So they go into a coma?
Yeah.
But they're alive?
So
it's like hibernation.
Yeah. But if all of a sudden this crazy, like, cold front comes in and they're in the water and it's below 50 degrees, they're going to die. It's like they're not prepared for that.
Oh,
right?
No. I would
so,
do the same thing.
Yeah.
I would immediately go into a coma.
You just freeze. Yeah.
I mean, at 60 degrees.
So it's like a cold stun and then they die. Right? So, like, all these volunteers at the Sea Turtle Inc., it's a rehab center in the Gulf. They all came together, and they're already dealing with some crazy shit on their own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But so cute. This lady, this Laura Hand, she didn't give her mom's name, but she's retired, and she volunteers. And she just filled up her car with
turtles.
Big ass sea turtles.
Dang, I would love that.
Just filled it up.
So, a selfie where she's
sent a picture of like she's helping. She's helping transport them.
No, I know, but what happens when she's driving, she's doing real good, and then they all come to life, they're like, attacked by turtles.
They're so not going to do that. So the volunteers at this place at one point had 1,700 turtles lined up in rows in tarps, helping them out. 1,700. That's not even like the most of it. Because remember, they're in the ocean and they're like coming to shore, like trying, oh shit, it's really cold in this water all of a sudden. So then like the naval ship came to help. Like so many hundreds of people are coming to help the sea turtles.
Nice.
We can't let them all die. Wow. So, you know, at the end of it, they had like 30, they had saved 3,500 turtles. And then they found that like 10 of their AC heater units had busted. So now they're asking for some donations to help out.
Oh, okay.
But
how do we help?
Yeah, so you can go to Sea Turtle Inc. And they already, I think it says they had 4,900 cold stunned sea turtles. So, you know, you can help by just going to their website. It is seaturtleinc.com.
Cool.
So make it happen.
Well,
be a badass.
Help, do something.
Yeah.
Poor turtle. They didn't ask for this.
Really. It's just so sad. Like, I read too many, like, really sad stories about, you know, like, there's zoos and stuff that are losing animals. All the birds have just died because they're so tiny, you know? Like, we're yet to see the devastation of this. It's serious. That's but how true. Cute. They saved the turtles.
Yeah. Yay, badass. They are being a badass.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
Yes, we should.
And your brother-in-law, wow.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, my employees are freezing in their homes. I'm going to go get them.
Yeah. I have, that's like, so cool. I had a friend that decided, like, he volunteered to help serve food. He's, like, pretty well off. He's a makeup artist, and he does very well. So he decided to, like, go help serve food at the, you know, I don't know, stadiums or whatever.
What are we doing?
Yeah, well, why not?
What are we doing?
Yeah.
We're in California. Okay. We don't have that kind of weather.
Yeah. When the earthquake comes, we'll take care of it.
That'll be our time to shine.
Oh, my gosh.
Please, earthquake, don't happen. Okay.
I'm not ready. Okay. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, all the things.
All the things.
All of them.
Oh, website.
Website. Handcuffs and Sage, podcast.com. We're going to have stuff coming
soon.
Up.
We have Clued Up.
Soon.
Yeah.
It's our second annual Team Handcuffs and Sage. I don't know. We're going to think of another little name because it's Victorian.
Yeah.
It's like the Jack the Ripper, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So excited. So we're going to take tons of pictures. We're going to put that on the website so you guys can live vicariously through us.
Yeah. Okay. No. Check out our website. We're going to have some good shit.
Yes.
We have some good shit coming. And then email us handcuffsandsage@gmail.com. I am very excited because we're going to be having some videos come out. But you can hear episodes that nobody else gets to hear if you join Patreon. There's three different levels. You get swag from us. We spoil you. You get videos that are hilarious.
Mm. Yes.
You know, support your favorite ladies. You know, I feel like I always ask, like, you know, check us out on iTunes. Leave us a quick review. Mm-hmm. I was really bad about that for a long time. And I listen to podcasts constantly. Mm-hmm, so I always make it a point to leave an honest, helpful review.
Right.
On every podcast I listen to. Yay!
Yay!
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And remember,
we do what we want.
Woo! Oh shit, we did it.
Bye.
Woo! See ya.
Bye. Handcuffs and Sage is hosted by Red, Timo, and Dre in a shitty guest room in Los Angeles.
Theme music is Leave Now by We Are Wasted. Cover art done by Megan Winchester.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Show some love on iTunes. Be a badass and do what you want. Until next time.